Hi,
welcome to Surviving What's Next podcast. This podcast is for women who crave real talk, no filters, and no judgment. If you don't have a place where you can just be you, then this is it. My team and I pride ourselves on being open and honest. This podcast will be packed with cautionary tales and real life stories. We will discuss topics such as life, love, divorce, sex, online dating, kids, mental health, and bad mom stories, just to name a few. Like everyone else, we are trying to survive what's next. Welcome back to another episode of Surviving What's Next. This is episode 4. Let's talk about self-love. Our hosts today are Lucy.
Hello.
Allie.
Hello, hello.
Heather.
Hi.
And Katie.
Hi.
So I want to talk about self-love. I think that self-love is one of the most important things. I mean, in anyone's life, really, but especially for women. I think everyone would agree that women, we're so hard on ourselves. We are our own worst critics. Like, there's nothing anybody can say that we wouldn't say to make us feel any worse. This topic hits close to home for me. It's been weighing on my heart a lot lately because I have a friend. She's actually one of my best friends. She's going through some things in her personal life. She's overweight. She has some health problems. And she's constantly falling for mean, unworthy men who treat her like shit. And she's one of those women that would just, you know, do anything for you. All you have to do is ask, you know, if you need a ride, you need food, whatever. Whatever it is that you need. Matter of fact, when my niece came to live with us and I asked her to post some stuff to get my niece some clothes and stuff, she showed up with 4 bags of clothes the next day. Like, that's the kind of person that she is. And I just love her so much. But she feels like when she sees herself, she feels like that's what she deserves. That's all she's good for, is these sorry ass, no good men that don't love her. And so then she takes that on, that, well, if they can't love me, then I'm surely not good enough for anyone better. I mean, the things that you do in your mind to yourself, it's unreal. Unreal. And she absolutely takes it to an epic level. All she wants is what everybody wants. We all want somebody to share our lives with, you know. She just doesn't feel like she deserves it. She has a terrible self-image, and I hate it so much because when I look at her, I don't see weight. I just see my best friend who I love, who I would do anything for. I mean, if she could see herself through my eyes, she would love herself so much. And, you know, she'd probably touch herself too. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, she would love herself because I love her to death. Also, I've tried so many times to transfer some of my inner bitch into her, but, you know, no matter how hard I try, she's too sweet. Her soul won't accept my inner bitch or something. I don't get it, but whatever. Anyway, but she's very sweet. And so this got me to thinking about so many women, including myself. We all have moments, but so many women, just like my friend, that feel they don't deserve better, okay? They aren't worthy. This is as good as it's going to get. They cannot overcome what is keeping them down. They don't understand. Most times, they don't know what's keeping them down. Someone is telling them they aren't good enough. They look for love in others when they don't love themselves. Or they try to fill the void with a relationship and can't understand why it never works. I have been all of the above. I'd like to talk about self-healing, self-love, and knowing your worth regardless what size your jeans are, right? Like, when I was married, when my marriage ended, I weighed 240 pounds. Now, everybody's going to know that damn number. That's all right. I'm okay with it. It was the heaviest I'd ever been in my life, right? And I hated myself. And I mean, I'm not saying you can't be happy, you know, and be a big girl, because Lord knows it is possible. I'm doing it now. But I lost 65 pounds. I went from a size 20 to a size 12. I'm 5'11", so it was perfect for me, for my height, I mean. But I was still miserable. I didn't understand why. Like, I lost the weight. I had one chin instead of three. I wasn't out of breath all the time when I tied my shoes. Like, this was it. This should have been golden. I should have been golden, right? Every time I looked in the mirror, I saw the fat girl. No matter what size I get in, I always see the fat girl. I did. And I always saw failed marriage, bad mom, you know, no job or whatever the situation was. All I would see, I had makeup done, hair done, ready to take on the world. And I couldn't see past all that. I was absolutely miserable. And it did not dawn on me that the weight had absolutely nothing to do with it to a degree. Like, I wasn't as big as I was, obviously, but everything that I thought I hated because I was fat didn't have anything to do with me being fat. That was the excuse I used. But I actually just hated myself. And that is a terrible feeling. So I lost the weight, went out, met people, you know, took a little over a year. I didn't stay home and mope. I went out and I didn't engage in any relationships of any type. Forgave myself for my part in the ending of my marriages. I realized some things about myself. I decided to go back to school. I took up photography again. I spent more time with my children. I took a lot of self-reflecting time. And I've said this before, you know, I did things that made me happy. Because when I was married, I wasn't sure exactly what made me happy. Or when I was miserable, nothing made me happy. And I say this all the time, and it's so true. When I put myself back together this time, I did it a little differently, and that made a big difference. Over the course of 4 years, I have, unfortunately, gained back about 20 pounds, but I still feel good about me, and I found self-love. And I also don't care what anybody thinks about me, but it's so important. Like, you don't think you can find it, but you can. You absolutely can, and it's a wonderful feeling. So, Lucy, tell us about your self-love.
Well, for me, you know, it has not only to do with what I see when I look in the mirror, because I do struggle with that. You know, I don't always like the way that I look. But, I mean, you know, we're girls. A lot of the times, we always pick out the flaws and nitpick and whatever. But my biggest struggle with self-love was when I got injured at work. I had a back injury, and I ended up out of work for a long time. In fact, I still haven't been able to go back to working a normal job, but it made me feel so useless to my family. I couldn't do chores around the house like I used to. Even the simple act of sweeping the floor would send me into excruciating pain. I couldn't go out and do bike rides with my family anymore because I physically could not. I wasn't able to help support the family financially anymore. And I spiraled into a very deep, dark black hole because I felt like I would be worth more if I wasn't around. I felt so useless, and I hated that. It made me hate myself.
Was that, do you think that was the lowest point for you?
Not quite. Almost, but not quite. The lowest point came after we moved to Texas. We moved here. I had no friends, no family around. We knew nobody. And my children started graduating from high school. And my oldest daughter moved back to New York to go to college. And when this started happening, I came to the sudden realization that I didn't have a clue who I was. I had spent the last 18, 19 years just being mom. My entire world, my entire life revolved around my kids. Their drama rehearsals, band performances, everything, every little thing that I did in my life revolved around being mom. Then suddenly I'm not having to do those things as much anymore. You know, I had two that graduated high school, another one that was graduating right behind them the next year. I still have two younger ones, but it's not the same as it used to be when I had all young ones. And coming to that realization that I didn't know who I was as a person by myself, that was terrifying, completely and utterly terrifying.
It just breaks my heart. I mean, that's a perfect example of mentally what we hear in our own heads. That is not, you know, it's not really an actual reality. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we go so dark sometimes that we cannot see. And that's scary. That is scary. And your story is a perfect example of that. Like, didn't know if you were coming or going, like you were just, you just went dark, and that is so scary. And don't you think that with our group, with the group, that we see that a lot in the group?
Yes, definitely.
Guys, y'all chime in. Like, did y'all think that we would see that much? Like, it's not that it's overwhelming. It's just like, this is why we do this, right? I mean, you feel like, were y'all prepared to see that much?
I was surprised. What surprises me is the lack of support, that like how alone women are.
Yes.
You know, There are so many that don't have any support whatsoever. Not even one person to help them.
Right. And then take Lucy. A whole tribe, like her whole family, like she's standing in the middle of a room and she feels totally alone. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
I get that. Like, I feel that in my soul. It was the same for me. Like, and so that's like, that's what we have in common. And that's why we mesh so well with our members, is because we're not some famous celebrities, and you know what I'm saying? Like, we're down in the trenches with them. We've been through what they're going through, which is why we can relate. Like, just take for example, have you ever met somebody that tried to give you advice that has no idea what you're going through?
All the time.
That is the worst. And it's not that we don't appreciate, you know, you wanting to, but you can't come at someone if you absolutely do have not a clue what we're going through. You can't do that. So I think that is one of the great things about our group is that they know that we've been there. And then they're always surprised when their situation comes up and Lucy's like, boom, I know exactly what you mean. And then Lucy literally could be her twin in that situation. And I mean, you can almost feel through the computer the relief on these women. When they're like, oh my God, somebody else really does. I mean, that's just what I love about this group. So, Allie?
Yes.
Yeah. So, let's hear about your self-love. This is turning out to be a really good episode, guys. I'm loving this.
It's a really good episode, but it's a tough one.
It is very tough.
You have to really let go of the things that you keep inside yourself to be able to put it out on the table for other people to hear. And I think that's what a lot of women today struggle with. Not just women, but men, kids, even. So for me, it's not about what I see of myself rather than what I've let define who I am. You know, it's about mental health and past traumas and your self-image. It really affects all aspects of your life, your kids, your relationships, your friendships. And I've noticed with me, the smallest thing can set me off, making it easy for me to point fingers and blame everybody else, and make them the problem. When in reality, the problem isn't necessarily me or you, but the events in your life that have become you, that have defined you into the person that you are today. Many people are letting their past and current traumas define who they are, and because of that, they have no fucking clue who they are.
That is the truth.
Oh, this is tough. The truth.
It is. Take your time.
So how I recognized it was me, or how I recognized the issues that I was having, was me and my significant other were on the verge of separating. And it's not something that I wanted to do, but I had to figure out what the root of the problem was. And I would constantly point fingers at him and blame him for the issues in the relationship. I was focusing all of that negative energy and negative attention on him and not taking any of that and putting it back on myself. So when I had that shift of a mindset, I turned it back around on me. And I knew what it was, but I was terrified to face it, absolutely terrified. But I forced myself to do it. So I wrote myself a letter. And after writing it, I was exhausted, but absolutely relieved, because all of my past traumas and past issues, I personally brought them to the surface so that I could face them head on and stop the cycle of the abuse that I was putting on myself. And after doing that, I have learned to now look at myself in a different light. The things that happened to me in the past aren't who I am. They're things. They're things that happened to me. But it's not who I am.
Okay, I think we need a break for a minute.
Okay, so my advice and what I have taught myself to do is, if I'm triggered, what is the root of it? What event happened in my past that is causing my anger at that particular situation? And then from there, like I said, I can break the cycle. It's hard, it's emotional. But also conveying that message to your support team and having them understand it will help tremendously with your growth and your journey to healing. If the people that are in your support team aren't supportive of that, they aren't listening to you, then you've got the wrong support team.
This is true. 100%. That's a very good point. Absolutely. Absolutely. That was beautiful, Allie. I'm so proud of you. I can't even tell you how proud of you. I am. I'm all emotional. You got me in my feelings over here. But that was beautiful. Thank you.
We're real. We're raw.
That's right. We're raw. We cry. We pause. We come back swinging. That's how we do it. So now that we're already been crying, so let's hear from Katie. I want to hear from Katie. about your self-love.
So mine is different. So I never not loved myself. I just assumed that based on how I looked, that no one else would love me or want me. So when I had my bariatric surgery many moons ago, I tipped the scales at 420. And I was 20 years old and I had it done. I lost 200 pounds. And when I was 25, I had my tummy tuck, and that was another 25 pounds taken off. And I finally felt that I could be wanted by someone else. Like, I knew I was beautiful. Bitch, I'm beautiful. But I never thought somebody else would feel that way about me. And I was fine. I accepted the fact that I was never going to get married, have kids, any of that. But I was okay with it.
Wait, I'm sorry, not to interrupt you. You thought that before or after the surgery?
I felt that way before and after.
Yeah, see? Yeah, that's
what I thought. But I was more okay with it after the surgery than I was before, because I had the surgery not because I wanted to be skinny. I had the surgery because I had other health risks. I was pre-diabetic. So I did it for that reason, not to look any cosmetic way.
Right.
And I thought that I did, I thought that I was happy with myself. And the funny thing is, I finally got into my first like relationship, but it wasn't like the best relationship because it wasn't a relationship.
Right.
So this was where I sowed my wild oats, and I was 26, 27, and I ended up having relations with this guy who also had a girlfriend.
Ouch.
But he never treated me bad. He actually treated me better than his girlfriend. But he made me feel so like gorgeous and hot, and I still think about him. And he was way older than me, like 20 something years older than me. But I realized, I'm like, damn, I am fucking hot, and I don't care. Somebody's gonna want me. And so I ended it with him, and then I'm like, 4 months later, I met my husband, got married, had my kids, and I am so happy with myself. I am healthy. I am not perfect weight, but I have my support of friends and family. I got two beautiful kids, and fuck what anybody says. The only person that matters is me and what I think about myself.
That's right. Say it again for the people in the back.
Exactly. But it's such a struggle for people to get that way. So no matter what you tell someone, and that is like my biggest pet peeve, is when people are like, oh, but you have such a pretty face. Bitch, I know my face is pretty. You don't gotta tell me that. And to sum it up on how my mama raised me when I was in elementary school, I had a t-shirt that said, I may be fat, but you're ugly, and at least I can diet.
I remember that too. I used to tell the kids in the playground that shit. That was funny. It was like, I'm rubbing your glue. That's awful. But, you know, I love your story too. That's fantastic. I love it. I love it. It's like, everything changes. Allie, and everything, do you feel like since you've started this journey, don't you just feel like a weight's been lifted off?
Yes and no.
Yeah?
Yeah. So with starting this journey, I am chiseling out time for myself, and it's getting myself onto a routine. And it's difficult when you have kids, when you have a spouse or a significant other. It's really hard to, most women would think it's selfish, but in reality it's not, because how can you provide for your family, your kids, if you're not taking care of yourself?
That is 100% true.
That's
pour from an empty
what's
cup.
Been difficult. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So that would probably be the most difficult thing that I've noticed. However, on the flip side of that, when I get up in the morning, I take that 10 minutes to have my cup of coffee. I do my yoga or my workout, and I'm refreshed and energized. I hop in the shower, and that's just me time. And it took a minute for me to let that sink in. My kids are sleeping. What am I going to do? Sit there and watch them sleep? No, take this time for yourself.
Right.
It's not selfish. It's needed.
Absolutely. That is 100% true. That is a great idea. I mean, you know the phrase, happy wife, happy life, happy mom, happy life, happy mom,
absolutely,
happy kids, you know?
Well, but you know, and a lot of the women in our group struggle with trying to find that thing that makes them happy besides being a mom. Mm-hmm. So like Allie said, you know, you do the yoga, and because Lucy was in a conversation with me a couple weeks ago with moms where they can't find themselves. They're so lost.
And then what happens? Then they get the mom guilt. I'm alone and I'm doing my own thing, but I really should be spending this time with my kids. Like, I get it. I swear, yeah, I do.
I think that is a
big
struggle.
You have to be
struggle.
Able to. Oh, it's a huge one. And for me, when it's time for the kids to go with their dad, I cannot wait to kick them out of the front door. I can't wait. Like, bags are packed. I'm ready to roll. They're going less than a day, full on mom guilt, and I miss them. Of course, I come to my senses a little while later and remember why I kicked them out in the first place. But I'm just saying, like, it happens to everyone. So I'm interested in to hear the fabulous Heather and about her self-love.
Well, y'all have met me after many years of self-love. But originally, as a kid growing up, I was super skinny, I was the smart one and everything. And I remember when I hit puberty and I started gaining weight, I would hear nice little subtle comments from family members, and they were unwanted.
I hate that.
I remember vividly one of the family members, I won't say which one, but I vividly remember them saying, "You're the smart one. The next sister is the pretty one, and then that one's the cute one." And I was like I was probably 14. I'm like, what do you mean I'm the smart one? I said, I'm just as pretty, if not better, than my sisters. What are you talking about? No. See, you've got a little bit too much grasa. You got some fat on you. And I'm like, the fuck you talking about? And then it was little subtle comments that like that for probably about 10 years from the time like 10 all the way through maybe 2021, that the little comments from just family members or friends of the family or people who thought they knew me, that they felt that they could have the commentary on myself. It wasn't about the fact that I graduated college, I graduated high school, all these wonderful things all my accomplishments. It was, oh, don't you think that maybe you shouldn't eat that? Or don't you think that maybe you shouldn't do that? Or maybe you should exercise more. It was lovely little comments that like that. And then at one day I realized I could keep taking their little hints and take them to heart, because after all those little comments, I would work out more. There was one point I was doing 5 miles a day on the treadmill and on the bicycle. 5 miles a day. No teenager should be doing that.
No, ever. Especially not from comments made by people who are supposed to care.
Exactly. And the worst part about this is I was a nice size 14, 16 in jeans. And I've always had a very curvy body. If I could lose my tummy, I'd have, you know, that Coke bottle shape. Great. But at the end of the day, I realized I was getting attention from guys, grown men and guys my own age, no matter what size I was. At my heaviest, I think I was 350 pounds. And I was still getting, if not the same amount of attention, but or more than what I was getting when I was 195 pounds. And it wasn't one of those things where I realized it subtly. It's one of those things that it just dawned on me one day. I was trying on jeans because we all love that process. Everybody loves trying on jeans. And I was trying.
There's
I was
a gun
like,
held in my head.
I was trying them on and I went to go snap them on. I was like, wow, they fit. I feel pretty good. And right after I walked out, someone said, wow, those look amazing on you. And the other girl said, don't you think maybe you need a bigger size? And I'm like,
oh.
No, I think they look just fine on me. They fit. I said, I'm not sure where your definition of fine is. But I remember distinctly walking out of the dressing room. I was like, I'm going to wear these out the store. I love them. And then within seconds, I got two different points of view. And I just thought to myself, I don't even know these people. And they're coming up with their own opinions. At the end of the day, my opinion was just as valid as it was when I was 5 seconds ago in the dressing room.
Absolutely.
And it's one of those things that it just hit me all of a sudden. It was one of those little lightning strike moments. I don't give a fuck what they say. I'm going to make my own opinions. I'm going to do what I want to do regardless. And I've lived my life like that for probably 15 years. And to be honest, it's made me have some of those unique experiences that I would never have had otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Because at one point in time, I was told, you're never going to have a husband. You're never going to have kids. And I wasn't told this by a doctor. I was told this by family members, people who love and care about me. Getting those little backhanded comments just continually, it has a way of feeding into not only a girl, but I mean, I've seen in years past that people are doing it to guys too. And from a young age, these are people who supposedly care about you. But at the end of the day, I was healthy. There was nothing physically wrong with me. Yes, I had a couple extra pounds, but health-wise, I've never been diabetic. I've never been pre-diabetic. I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have any of those health things that should be associated with being a larger person. I exercise quite frequently. And the love, I get where they're coming from. In their mind, it's love. They're preventing me from obesity and all these other terrible things that come with it. But at the end of the day, what are you sacrificing? You're willing to hurt my self-esteem for your love and care? It doesn't work like that. I've had a couple sit-downs with several family members letting them know that it's not acceptable. I won't not only will I not have you talking to me like that, but before I got married, I was told point blank period several times, you'll never get married. You'll never have a husband. You'll never have kids. You're too big. Men don't like their women big.
The devil is a lie.
And I remember distinctly saying one time, I think I was probably about 17 or 18. This was right before the epiphany, the aha moment. And I distinctly remember saying, that's funny, because I was in a smart ass mood, because that's what teenagers do. That's funny. I just got two offers to go on a date. I guess they do like them big.
Yeah, they do.
I got grounded for 2 weeks.
It was totally worth
being grounded, because it wasn't just one. I got that epiphany moment, but it took a lot more moments of where I had to make that choice. Am I going to let myself, my love, who I am, be defined by someone else's opinions and their choices.
That is exactly right.
And to this day, I mean, I'll get lovely little choices. I remember last summer, the best one I've gotten ever was I was coming back from the lake. I was wearing my bikini because as big as I am every year, fuck all everybody else, I wear a bikini. I don't give a fuck what anybody says.
I wore a bikini one time and fucking, sure enough, 30 days later, I got fucking knocked up with twins. Just pointing that out. So big girls rock bikinis too.
That's right. Exactly. I mean, not this big girl, but.
I just want to point out, Heather, that since I have known you, since Surviving started, I have never met somebody with as much confidence as you have. You absolutely portray the definition of self-love.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because Hell yes.
When I had the aha moment, I had to realize that, like I said, I got that lightning bolt epiphany moment. But ever since then, it's been every day I'm presented with the choice. I can choose to love myself. I can choose to make my own opinions because I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. Be damned the consequences, which sometimes is a bad thing, be honest. But last summer, I got the best definition. Coming back from the lake, I was wearing my bikini, and trust me, I was feeling myself. And I was just talking to my friend. She's a bigger girl, but she wears one pieces exclusively. And she's like, I wish I could be like you. And some guy and his wife were there, and she was wearing a full cover-up. I mean, it was almost 100 degrees. I don't know how she wasn't sweltering and dying to death, because I wouldn't. But he said, ma'am, thank you. I was like, thank you. I said, I'm sorry, what for? He said, thank you. He said, I've been trying to tell my wife that it doesn't matter what size you are, you can rock whatever you want. He said, my wife was just saying how beautiful you were in your bikini, and she wished she could do that. I looked at her and said, ma'am, if you want to wear that bikini, wear it. If they don't have to look, and if they say something, who cares? They were going to think it anyway. At the end of the day, who's happy? You or them.
That's right.
And she said, I never thought of it. I never thought of it that way.
And guess what? And it's simple. It's so simple. You know, I take a little more like, okay, so I'll take that electricity money since obviously you're paying my bills and you feel like you have an input into my life. No, you don't have nothing to do with this. Nothing, you know, you're not, whatever, mind your business. I just don't understand why people cannot mind their business. Why
well,
go
it's
there?
Even more important. Exactly. It's even more important now that I'm a mother to a daughter and she's starting to hit those teenage years. She's starting to come into her body. Her body's changing. She's starting to realize. And like I told her, I said, weight will come on. Weight will settle in different places. You're not going to know who you are in your body for a while. I just want you to be the most comfortable you can be in your body. I said, and let me tell you, and I told her when she first started noticing change, I was like, the first thing that someone's going to say now that your body's changing is you're either ugly or you're fat. I said, those are going to be the two worst things that someone could ever say to you. And the first time you hear it, it's going to hurt. And I told her that. I said, that's the first thing they're going to do. First thing anyone says to a girl is you're ugly or you're fat.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the best part about that? If you can get past those two insults, just those two insults, I promise, I can guarantee you, you will understand that no one can change who you are. No one will be ever able to alter your confidence. I had someone tell me point blank period, oh, well, are you sure you can wear that? Yeah, I can. You want to see it? If they make it in my size and I like it, I'm going to wear it.
Well, you go, girl.
Point blank period.
So I've been doing a little research here and there, and I found some valid points that I wanted to throw out there in the universe that I thought were relevant for this topic. Just a few things to think about when you're thinking about self-love, self-care, that kind of thing. How can you expect someone to love you if you don't love yourself? That's a big one. because you don't really think about it like that. I mean, I didn't. These are things that I wish I would have known to even Google or whatever when I was going through my separation and my divorce, when I was miserable.
But that's the hardest one for people to do.
It's the hardest. It is absolutely the hardest. For one thing, it's the hardest to admit to accept. And they're like, no, that doesn't make sense. No, it makes perfect sense. If you do not love yourself, you can't expect someone else to love you because you don't know yourself. Because let's say you're in a relationship and you do not love yourself, but this man does. You will doubt him every step of the way because you do not love yourself. And there will always be that friction because that's why. And I feel that in my soul. Like, I really feel that that is a real thing. How can you expect someone to respect you? You have no self-respect. Same. If you don't respect yourself enough to not, like, for instance, my friend, terrible choice in men, you know, like, it, but she doesn't have any self-respect. I worry about that, or she doesn't hardly have any, let's just put it like that, very little. And that's part of the problem, you know. If you don't respect yourself, then why should they? Why should anyone? You know, so, okay, this is a big one. Family members that deal with this on a daily. The opposite sex should not be responsible for making you feel worthy, right? You can't, you cannot do that. Now, not that they're not willing, right, Lucy? Like, not that they're not willing to do that, but what is your take on that, Lucy?
No one can determine your worth but you. Like, exactly. With my situation, you know, my kids never saw me as useless. Mm-hmm. My husband never saw me as useless or worthless or any of those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I mean, because, you know, in their defense, you weren't.
True, but because I saw myself that way, I just knew that they did.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't.
No, they didn't. And that's my exact point right there. They don't see us like that. But when we see ourselves like that, we're basically like, you're full of shit. Like, I'm not worthy. And you can't tell me that I am. Do you know what I mean? But that really is not the case. And that's where the self-love comes in. And you have to find what makes you happy and find your self-love. Now, it's a different journey for everybody. We've heard from all of us. If you noticed, every single one of our journeys was different. Every single one. That is why this works. We all have different experiences, but guess what? We all come to the same point. We all meet and at the same time with our journeys. I mean, that's the greatest thing about our admin team is... That's one of the things I love the most. So my thought on this is giving another human being is responsible for making you feel worthy, because this is giving your significant other, boyfriend, family, it's giving them too much power. Do you know what I'm saying? That is way too much power, because one day you're great. They love you. You're perfect. Da, da, da. And so you take them at their word. With that much power, all they have to do is switch, and then you're a piece of shit, and you're not worthy, and you're ugly, or you're fat, or you're whatever. And so then, because you believe them when they were saying the good things about you, well, then the bad things have to be true. That's too much power for one human being. I went through that. I will never give another human being that much power over me, ever. It's the most degrading thing I've ever felt in my life. And once I realized that that's what I was doing, I'd given too much power, it was a real eye-opener for me. Okay, here's another one. Sex does not mean love.
Oh, my God. Say it again, please.
I'm going to say it again for the people in the back. sex does not mean love. It can. You know what I mean? Like, if you're in a healthy relationship, it can be whatever you want. But I am just saying, just because you're having sex with said person does not mean it's love. And you have to be able to know the difference. When you find yourself love, guys, don't y'all agree? When you find yourself love, you absolutely will know when it's love. Does that make sense? Right? Yep. That was a big one. That was a big one for me. That was a big one. Find out about yourself. Like, what do you want? What do you want in life? What do you want in a relationship? What do you want in a job? These are things that you have to find for yourself. You have to do some research. Okay, Lucy, what is it that you want in life? What is it, like, if you could just choose, what would you love to do? I run an empire. I'm just guessing.
Well, I mean, I enjoy my crafting business. Now that I've figured out who I am personally as a standalone human being, I want my crafting business to thrive. I want my kids to be happy. I just want to be content and comfortable in not only my own skin, but my own life. That's really all we can ask for.
Absolutely.
And to have a baby goat.
And a baby goat.
And a baby goat.
One day we're gonna wake up. Yes, one day we're gonna wake up and she's gonna take pictures and that backyard is gonna be full of baby goats. Now she might be single after that, but still she will have baby goats.
I'll never be single as long as I have you, Stacey.
That's exactly right. All right, Allie, I'm gonna ask everybody briefly. Let's do, okay, so different one for you. What is it you want? Like, what, you know, same. What is it you want? Like, it could be like a big picture in your life, like your favorite job. Like, what do you aspire?
You know what? That's a really good question. And maybe in a couple months, I'd be able to answer that for you. But right now, I don't know who I am. And that is the most empowering thing because I get to choose who I want to be.
Absolutely.
That it's can be your goal. Slave. You're just trying to find who you are.
I love it. I love it. And guess what? When we redo this video, this episode in a few months, we'll revisit that. I love that answer. Thank you, Allie. That's beautiful. Katie?
I just want to be stable. No craziness. Got my kids. I'm ready to just smooth sailing.
I like it. Well, yeah, of course. Dare I ask, Heather?
I reevaluate this at least once a year because we constantly evolve who we are, who we're changing to be. My goals, who I am self-aware now from last year, completely different. Last year my goals were just continue to make financial stability for, you know, with my husband, for our family. And we did that. So I've reached that plateau, and now the last 3 months, we've actually taken a readjustment of where I am, what makes me happy. And we both decided that he's like, don't care. I want you to be happy. And he knows who I am. I'm going to make the choice. And I decided a couple months ago to go back to open up my photography business, go back to photography there, because that's what truly makes me happy.
I love that. And
since doing that, I've done nothing but pick up my camera. I've had some amazing photo shoots that have truly brought me joy. They're not the cookie cutter photos I was doing beforehand. And that's what caused me to just burn out because it was the same project. Now I have time to make me happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, good. For me, if someone said, Stacey, what do you want to do? What is it you want? I want to host my own radio show. Like, big picture, big job, like, dream job. I want to host my own radio show. I would just love that so much. So,
And here's you have what Jason Momoa as a guest?
Well, I mean, he can be a guest, but he'll be living in the closet. So, yeah, he can come out anytime he wants. So here's what, this is what I would love for you guys, to you listeners, to think about, okay? Have fun by yourself. Key. If you cannot be alone, that in itself is a problem. Have some fun. Forgive yourself for past mistakes, right? Forgive yourself. We are only human. Everybody fucks up. Forgive yourself. You will feel so much better. Start a journal. Allie and Lucy swear by it. I've seen nothing but positive from it. I suggest it to everyone. I'm going to even start a journal. Give yourself a break. Give yourself a break. Learn how to love yourself by saying no to others. I'm sorry. Did we all hear that?
Yes.
Learn how to love yourself by saying no to others. That's a big one. That's a big one. Make a list of accomplishments, no matter how small. It doesn't matter. That, and you know what you do, what it happens when you do that, you have a list of something positive about you. Once you write it down, it's in the universe. It's there. Make a vision board. Pursue new interests. Find out what your interests are if you don't know. Like, there's so many options. Give yourself credit where credit is due. Okay? Work on your self-trust. And most important, take care of yourself. And if you need somebody to listen to you, you might just find it in this big old group. So here's my definition of self-love. Having high regard for your own well-being and happiness, not sacrificing your well-being to please others, not settling for less than you deserve. That says it all to me. Like, that's everything we've discussed in this episode. I want to thank everybody for being on the episode today. It was so much fun. It got emotional, and, you know, we cried a little bit, I'm not going to lie. But it was all positive. It was all positive, good tears. And I love, these are the episodes that just make us feel good. And that's what we want. So thank y'all for listening today. I hope that it helped whoever needed to hear this. This was for you. We love your guts, and we'll see you next week when we're back. Welcome back to another episode. What was that? Hi. Oh, shit. I was looking at Jackie and getting introduced her. I'm sorry. Fucking tits flying, fucking stage manager, fucking meadow, walking ass, red-handed Jersey bitch. Listen, focus. Our guests today are Lucy.
Hello.
Stop. Did y'all hear me? Our guests. What am I supposed to say there? We're not guests. Why does it say guests?
Today's hosts are... Oh,
thank you. My hoes on the panel today. Today our hosts... I'm so fucking done. Who wants to do the fucking intro, please? Fuck my life. Oh my God, what the fuck? I can't even get through a goddamn intro? This is all I'm saying.
Goddamn miracle.
Stacy.
Uh-oh.
Heather came in partway through, so I'm going to need you to do that intro again.
Fuck. Fucking Heather.
Point blank period.